Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
This is 329, Elder Abuse Cases. I'm sure you know that attorneys involved in litigating elder abuse cases can really benefit from the help of a legal nurse consultant. We have the ability to interpret medical records to help clients investigate these types of cases. Here is a handy guide to elder abuse case terms. First, neglect. It's the foundation of elder abuse cases when an elder does not receive the care to satisfy basic needs. The medical records may reveal signs of malnutrition, which you can detect by looking at patterns of weight loss and unintentional weight loss. The resident may have low albumin levels. The resident may have dehydration marked by elevated sodium and blood urea nitrogen levels, pressure sores, and a general unkempt appearance. Neglect often stems from understaffing. In a nursing home or assisted living facility, staffing records may reveal chronic understaffing. Slow eaters who need to be fed may not receive enough food to meet their nutritional needs. Incontinent residents wait for hours to be cleaned. Many elder abuse cases arise from neglect that's discovered as a result of the resident being transferred to a hospital. Another term is abandonment, and that's when a resident is deserted by somebody responsible for care. An elder living in the community who is dependent on others may not receive food or attention. If visiting nurses are involved, they may note signs of neglect or abandonment. I was involved as an expert witness in a case of an elder abuse situation in which a home health aide took a job in a hospital as a nursing assistant. She hired her friend to carry for the woman in her home while the aide went through hospital orientation. The friend did not turn the woman, and the patient in the home developed pressure sores. The abandonment came to light when the family found the sores. Another term, physical abuse. When the elder is the victim of physical force. Medical records may document bruises, hematomas, or sexual assault injuries. As I mentioned in 328, in one elder abuse case I was involved in, a nursing home resident developed bruises. When the police came, he said somebody had come into his room at night and beat him. The facility had no explanations for what happened to him, and they settled the lawsuit. Many elders have thin skin, which is easily torn. Physical abuse may include the use of restraints, which are not commonly used anymore in long-term care facilities. Emotional abuse occurs when an elder is humiliated, intimidated, or chastised. The residents can be bullied by a staff member or by family members. One of my friends lost her job in a nursing home because she screamed at the woman she was taking care of. My friend lost control as a result of the woman's repetitive questions. Elders may react by cringing when they're near abusive healthcare providers. Financial exploitation takes place when a person takes advantage of an elder to gain access to her money or property. In one elder abuse case that I was involved in, a home health aide stole a diamond ring from a woman for whom she was caring. One of my friends was bilked by a home health aide she hired to care for her husband. The aide disappeared after she wrote a check from the couple's checkbook for $500. She was never seen since. Consider the specific complexities of a case involving an elder. Although the elder may have been abused or neglected, pre-existing medical conditions may have had a greater impact on the outcome. The elderly patient who is institutionalized has an assortment of medical conditions that required long-term care. The defense position typically attacks the causation argument by stating that pre-existing conditions caused the elder's death, not the actions of the healthcare providers. Or they may argue that the patient's death was caused by natural factors or a gradual decline, or the decedent had no life expectancy. Your knowledge of the aging process, the forms of neglect, and how to locate board-certified experts in geriatric medicine will assist attorneys in litigating elder abuse cases. Before I continue, listen to this. Nursing home cases are specialized. This area of litigation has its own rules, regulations, and language. Who better to learn from than an attorney who has spent his time litigating assisted living and nursing home cases? Attorney Sean Doolin has developed expertise in representing the victims of nursing home and assisted living malpractice. He shares his lessons learned and provides specific information that you can use to review a case involving a nursing home. Sean gives you his attorney insights on how care is improved by lawsuits, how nursing homes try to prevent falls, which cases are difficult to win, the role of the ombudsman, the types of medical malpractice claims that occur from care in assisted living facilities versus nursing homes, how to look for signs of quality care in a nursing home, and where to look on the internet for a rating of a nursing home. This program is called Reducing the Risks of Nursing Home Care. Purchase this program's transcript at this link, lnc.tips/NHC. Let me give you that full link, http://lnc.tips/NHC, and use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount on the price. Here is one more aspect to consider as we discuss abuse. This is a tragic case of a violent patient who beat his psychiatrist. Violent patients are a growing concern. This was a Virginia case. A psychiatrist was beaten by a patient and suffered a traumatic brain injury, a fractured eye socket, a concussion, and a skull fracture. He is now depressed, has post-traumatic stress disorder, and vision impairment, which prevents him from working. A Trial magazine write-up explained that the violent patient twice approached the doctor while he was employed at Virginia Beach Psychiatric Center. During the first encounter, the patient made statements to the physician before he was escorted away. In the second encounter, the patient formed his hand into the shape of a gun and pressed it against the doctor's head and said, "Bang!" The patient approached the doctor at the nurse's station and beat him. The standard of care issues raised in this case related to the inadequate security provided. Although violent incidents occurred every few days at the facility, it retained only one part-time security guard who patrolled the parking lot. This case was taken to trial. It was called Shetty versus Psychiatric Solutions, and the jury awarded $5.35 million. Evaluation of these kinds of cases is based on determining if an event was foreseeable. Dr. Shetty's attorneys argued the patient had threatening behavior, he had a documented history of violence, and he was involuntarily committed to the facility. Despite this, he was placed on the lowest watch level. Violence against staff can take place anywhere in the hospital or nursing home. Emergency and psychiatric nurses are particularly sensitized to this issue, as they are more common targets. As this case shows, the facility had an obligation to protect its staff from violent patients by accurately identifying the risk of violence to the extent possible and providing safeguards for the staff. Legal Nurse Consultants may help attorneys with these kinds of cases. My LNC company's nurses assisted attorneys with psychiatric cases and nursing home cases involving evaluating the events, considering the standards of care, providing the relevant standards for the time frame involved, creating chronologies of events, and supplying healthcare expert witnesses. Be sure to order your copy of the transcript for the program called Reducing the Risks of Nursing Home Care. The link for that product is http://lnc.tips/NHC. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount. You can also get the link for that product at the show notes on podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. And please tell your LNC colleagues about Legal Nurse Podcast. I would love to reach more LNCs with our show. And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on legalnursebusiness.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at legalnursebusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month clubs, my membership site, lnceu.com, gives you 2 online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at lnceu.com. And my last website, thelncacademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at lncacademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.